Hello and welcome to Tantrum Hour Report on CHMA 106.9 FM. We're broadcasting from Sackville, New Brunswick, the heart of the Maritimes, on the traditional and unceded lands of the Mi'kmaq people. I'm Erica Butler. It's Wednesday, December 1st. Tonight is the fourth night of Hanukkah, and Sackvillians of Jewish faith will be lighting the fourth candle on the menorah. Happy Hanukkah to those celebrating. Coming up on today's show, we bring you voices from yesterday's announcement by Wolastoqiyik chiefs who have filed a new claim to Aboriginal title over their traditional lands, this time one that includes major industrial landowners such as J.D. Irving. And we take a look at some events coming up in Sackville today and Friday, including a social action fair open to community members today from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Mount Allison Student Center on York Street. But first, more local news and information. The town of Sackville says it will stick by its position against forced amalgamation of existing municipalities in response to New Brunswick's local governance reform plan. In a statement on the town's website, town staff say they maintain their position as outlined in a letter to Minister Danielle Allain in July, which says amalgamation is an unrealistic solution and that the town would object to any forced amalgamation. On November 18th, the province announced its plan to amalgamate Sackville, Dorchester, Pointe du Butte, and surrounding areas into a single municipal entity by 2023. Shortly after the announcement, Sackville Mayor Sean Michaud seemed surprised but remained positive about the proposed plan. He said town staff would be briefing council on the implications of the plan. The first opportunity for public discussion of those implications will be at council's meeting on Monday, December 6th. The town's statement issued Monday says that council will be providing a formal response to Minister Allain in the coming weeks. Another public sector strike vote is looming in the province, this time with the members of the New Brunswick Nurses Union. Union President Paula Doucette told CBC News that members would begin their vote on Thursday, with counting wrapped up by Monday, December 6th. Finance Minister Ernie Steves told CBC News that there are meetings planned with the union later this week and next. About 9,000 licensed practical nurses, registered nurses, and nurse practitioners are members of the NBNU and have been without a contract for almost 3 years. This includes nurses working at the Sackville Memorial Hospital, which has reduced emergency room care to 8 hours per day due to nurse and physician shortages. The last contract offer presented to NBNU members was rejected on October 6th, and Doucette says she has not received an offer since then. CHMA spoke with Doucette back in August, shortly after another membership vote overwhelmingly rejected a first tentative agreement. Here she is describing the feelings among members at the time.
I think what is happening out there is that nurses are frustrated. Nurses are fed up and they are feeling disrespected by regional health authorities, governments. It's just right now is like the perfect storm. They have worked and stepped up throughout this pandemic to ensure the safety of their communities, the safety of this province. And they've done so sometimes at their own detriment. The stress levels that are placed on these registered nurses and nurse practitioners every day going to work and, you know, donning and doffing of the PPEs in the middle of this pandemic was stressful enough. And now continuing to work with less and less staff and, you know, the 24-hour shifts, you name it. There is a level of frustration out there that I don't know what it will take actually to ease that frustration apart from a little bit of recognition, respect, and being remunerated fairly for the work that nurses do in this province. So yes, they're frustrated, they're exhausted, and they're fed up.
That was New Brunswick Nurses Union President Paula Doucette speaking in August of this year. Union members will start a strike vote tomorrow, and we should know the results by Monday. The Wolastoqiyik Nation announced a precedent-setting legal action in New Brunswick on Tuesday. The nation has filed a new title claim, which names several major corporations, mostly forestry companies, as defendants, along with the provincial and federal governments. The new claim was filed in the Court of Queen's Bench and replaces one filed last year. The companies named in the claim include J.D. Irving Limited, Irving Oil, NB Power, Acadian Timber, Twin Rivers Paper, H.J. Crabb & Sons, and AV Group. The Wolastoqiyik are seeking a declaration of Aboriginal title to about 5 million hectares of their traditional lands, and also compensation from the Crown for allowing commercial operations on that land. Here's Chief Patricia Bernard of Madawaska First Nation.
These corporations have benefited tremendously off of land that was given to them that they had no right to give. The Crown had no right to give that land. And so, and they paid either nothing for it or a small like consideration fee, and that was it. So that's not fair. New Brunswickers who have paid for their property with fair market value, but you know, by all means, they should be able to enjoy what they've paid for. But these corporations not only got the land for free, they benefited immensely from it. So this is why we have to name them. And these few companies make up one fifth of the territory that we're seeking. That's just tremendous. That's huge. That's close to a million hectares.
Bernard was one of four chiefs speaking on Tuesday and made the point several times that the land claim process would not affect average landowners in New Brunswick.
Let me speak for a minute to New Brunswickers who have homes on our traditional lands and who rightfully have many questions about this development. While we are seeking title to our territory, the Wolastoqiyik Nation does not want to displace you from your homes. The only private landowners we are trying to get land back from are these six: J.D. Irving Limited, AV Group, Acadian Timber, Twin Rivers Paper, H.J. Crabb & Sons, and NB Power. If you're not one of these companies, you have nothing to worry about. If the Attorney General or the Premier try to say otherwise, no, it's not true. And understand, it is actually the private interests of Irving and other corporations they are protecting. Don't let them mislead you. We know that you or your forebears paid fair market value for your land. The Crown never compensated us, but you did compensate the Crown. While ordinary New Brunswickers have had to pay for their lands, that's not the case for these large forestry companies who have benefited from sweetheart deals that the province cut for them. For a demonstration of this imbalance, New Brunswickers need to look no farther back then this summer, when we all witnessed the government's unwillingness to seek proper compensation from forestry companies getting rich off a booming world market. We want our land back from them. They never paid fair and square for the lands that they own.
Bernard said that while the claim to Aboriginal title applies to all Wolastoqiyik traditional territory, the nation will not seek to have land returned, but rather to be compensated by the Crown. The basis for the claim is the Peace and Friendship Treaty signed between the Crown and the Wolastoqiyik from 1725 to 1778, in which land was not ceded or surrendered, and which included acknowledgement of Wolastoqiyik title.
In signing the Peace and Friendship Treaties, the Crown recognized that our people were the rightful owners of our lands, waters, and resources. For decades, the Crown has broken its promises and our treaties. This land is rightfully ours. And while we are only seeking the return of specific parcels, we maintain our claim to Aboriginal title to all of our traditional territory. For these lands that we don't seek to have returned, like the lands owned by everyday New Brunswickers, we will be seeking compensation from the Crown. This compensation is to make up for the fact that much of our land is lost to us forever.
Joining the chiefs at the news conference Tuesday was Aboriginal rights lawyer Renee Pelletier, who spoke to the uniqueness of the new land claim.
I'm not aware of any other Aboriginal title claim that is quite exactly like this one. Of course, they're all different because they're unique in their circumstances. I think the notion of seeking land in a claim and a defendant being able to rely on the fact that they have paid, you know, fair market value for that land is not something that is new. And so that is why in this case, the only companies that are being named by the Wolastoqiyik chiefs in this new action focus on those companies that can't benefit from that defense, that have not paid market value for their land. So that sort of concept at law is not new. I think what is unique about New Brunswick is that, unlike the decision that we saw by the Silco team several years ago in British Columbia, New Brunswick, you know, that territory was vastly unoccupied. lots of Crown land, not really third-party interests in their territory, and so that could be sort of more clean-cut. In New Brunswick, the situation is very different. There is very little Crown land back, and so if the Wolastoqe were limited to only seeking back Crown land, they would have very little return to them. And so, as they've mentioned, they're not seeking to displace people who have paid good money for their homes, for their farms, et cetera. But those companies that have, you know, 20% of their claimed territory and have received that land for free, that is rightfully belongs to the Wolastoqe. And so, you know, perhaps in that sense, it's a bit of a precedent. But I think that it's a question of fairness.
The chiefs also addressed what would happen in the event of a legal win for their claim, saying that forestry and other operations could continue, but with input from the Wolastoqe Nation. The chiefs repeatedly mentioned their duty and commitment to stewardship of the lands.
We have the responsibility to look after this land. We have the responsibility to make sure that it's sustainable for the next seven generations to come. That's our duty. That's our responsibility. We may have rights, but we have more responsibilities than we do rights.
Chief Bernard acknowledged that the process would take decades to work its way through the courts, as did the smaller land claim settled by the province and the Madawaska First Nation.
We've settled a specific land claim in our community that I started in 1998, and it's taken decades to get it done, but it's just all about not giving up. And this isn't my first rodeo, so to speak. And I'm prepared to see this through, as I'm sure as all the other chiefs are, because it's what's right. It's justice. It's the truth. And that's what keeps us going.
That was Madawaska First Nation Chief Patricia Bernard speaking at a news conference yesterday after announcing a new land claim on behalf of the Wolastoqe Nation, which seeks to establish Aboriginal title to 5 million hectares of land in New Brunswick and names the provincial and federal governments, as well as a number of major corporations as defendants. Just under 2 weeks ago, Sackville shops were busier than usual as streets filled with vendors and shoppers for the 2021 version of Moonlight Madness. Day two of the annual event is slated for this Friday night. Back in November, we spoke with Town Recreation Director Matt Pride to get more details on what Moonlight Madness has to offer. Matt Pride, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So the town is taking over Moonlight Madness this year, and it sounds like it's considerably ramped up from last year. Can you tell me what's planned so far?
Yeah, sure. We took on a bit more of a lead, helping out the Sackville BIA. And we have the staff capacity to be able to put it on and get out to the businesses and see what we could make happen. So we have a lot of stuff going on. Almost every business in town, from the outskirts of Cattail Ridge right through to the outskirts of downtown on the other side with the liquidation store, are all participating. And we've got 25 vendors and fundraisers that are going to be setting up tables throughout the downtown. There's buskers. Can't forget the wagon rides. They're always popular. So we have two full wagons coming to help keep the lines relatively small and help with social distancing as much as we can on the wagons themselves. So they're definitely always popular, and the families love them.
All right. Now, last year, it was Moonlight Madness was a bit more scaled down. That was my only Moonlight Madness that I've experienced so far. So in the history of Moonlight Madness, has it waned a little in recent years? And so this is representing a sort of new energy into it?
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where the makeup of the downtown has changed over the years. And maybe there's less retail opportunities. I don't know. I haven't lived here for as long as Moonlight Madness has been around, but I have noticed. I always attend Moonlight Madness both nights every year, and I have noticed the number of people in town decreasing a little bit. And so where we have the staff time to be able to really do what we can to get the word out about what's happening in town, we thought we'd take it over this year and really push the message out to Sackville residents. And hopefully generate a little more excitement in the downtown this year.
And there's a little extra budget, I guess, left over from the canceled fall fair. That's going to mean we're going to see some fireworks this year. Is that right?
Yeah, that's the plan. Pending council's approval of the street closure, December 3rd, we'll be putting on our fall fair fireworks display, and that'll take place at 6 p.m. right behind Town Hall here, like it normally does during fall fair. So that's pretty exciting that we are able to get that done. COVID restrictions pending, of course, because I know a lot of people look forward to that during fall fair, and it was disappointing that it had to be canceled.
That was Sackville Recreation Director Matt Pride. Town recreation staff have helped coordinate Moonlight Madness this year, and the second and final night of the event is slated for this Friday, December 3rd. Strutt's Gallery is getting in on Moonlight Madness action with their annual holiday members show and sale opening on Friday. An opening reception starts at 6 p.m. at the Lorne Street Gallery with hot apple cider on offer outside. The show promises the work of Strutt's members near and far, and afterwards patrons are invited around the corner to the Black Duck, where Angela Thibodeau will be exhibiting recent works. Today, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., community members are invited to a social action fair put together by students in the Mi'kmaq Maliseet Social Work Program at St. Thomas University. The students will present on a variety of social issues from an Indigenous perspective. All community members are invited to drop by Tweedy Hall on the main floor of the Mount Allison Student Center on York Street from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. to explore the Social Action Fair. Another event tonight, the Sentinel Petitcodiac Riverkeeper is hosting a public dialogue about the future of the Memramcook River from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. online tonight. The Riverkeepers have been researching the possibility of removing a causeway in Memramcook, and will share information about the community's concerns, including flood risks for the region. To register, look for links on chmafm.com or Sentinel Petitcodiac Riverkeeper on Facebook. And lastly, before we leave you today, a reminder that winter has arrived and Sackville's overnight parking ban is now in effect. Residents are not permitted to park on municipal streets or parking lots between 1 a.m. and 6 a.m. daily throughout the winter months. That's it for CHMA's Tantramar Report for this Wednesday, December 1st. Are there stories you'd like to hear covered on Tantramar Report or an event you'd like people to know about? Get in touch with us at news@chmafm.com. I'm Erica Butler. Thanks for listening.